Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
All right, so get ready because this one's a doozy. We're going deep into a story where like an overactive imagination meets an old building and it's very noisy pipes.
Oh, wow.
It's wild. We're diving into this letter someone wrote to a podcast about their nightmare neighbors.
Okay.
The letter writer is on the autism spectrum and unpredictable noises like really throw them off.
I can imagine.
Oh, and did I mention the neighbor has a dog with a very unique, I guess you could say, vocal talent?
Oh, boy.
And a boyfriend who's totally obsessed with zombie video games.
That's already painting quite a picture. It sounds like a recipe for sensory overload, especially for someone with autism.
Exactly. And here's the kicker. The source of the noise isn't what anyone suspects at first. This letter's like a real mystery wrapped in a noise complaint.
Intriguing. I'm ready.
Okay, so picture this. Our letter writer starts hearing this relentless thudding. Like someone upstairs is practicing for, you know, like the Olympic hammer throw day and night. Yeah. Constant and unpredictable noise like that can be incredibly taxing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for someone with autism where sensory input can be experienced more intensely.
Right.
It's like being trapped in a state of like heightened alert.
Yeah.
You never know when the next boom's going to hit.
You start to doubt yourself, right? Is this really happening or am I losing it?
Totally. That uncertainty can be a huge part of the distress. It's not just the noise itself, but the loss of control. And the constant questioning of your own perception.
Mm.
Remember, we're talking about an old D building.
Right.
So it's not exactly a haven of peace and quiet to begin with.
No.
Anyway, our letter writer finally works up the nerve to talk to the downstairs neighbor. It's this young couple, and the boyfriend is deep in some zombie apocalypse game, like headphones on, oblivious to the world.
I can see how that initial encounter might have given the letter writer a false sense of hope. Like, okay, they're normal, they get it, this will be resolved.
Totally. But plot twist, the noise doesn't stop.
Oh, no.
In fact, it seems to get worse.
Yeah.
And now it's not just annoying, it feels like a betrayal.
It's like that broken promise adds another layer of frustration. The letter writer went out of their way to communicate, to be understanding, and yet the problem persists. It can feel very invalidating.
And to top it off, there's another neighbor who enters the scene, this one, with a dog that clearly believes silence is the enemy. Seriously, you've never heard barking like this. So now our letter writer is caught between a hammer-wielding phantom upstairs and a canine opera singer next door.
It's interesting how these shared grievances can create a sense of camaraderie. Complaining about the noise together, even speculating about the culprits, can form a strange sort of bond.
Right. Misery loves company. But in this case, it also breeds suspicion. The neighbors start keeping noise logs, almost competing to see who's suffering the most. They're even doing stakeouts in the hallway trying to catch the culprit in the act.
Wow.
It's getting intense.
It sounds like they're turning into like amateur detectives, right?
Except instead of a crime, they're trying to solve this mystery of like the phantom noisemaker. Exactly.
Mm.
And what they discover is both hilarious and a little sad. It wasn't the gamer. It wasn't the dog. It was the building itself.
Oh, wow.
All that time, the culprit was the aging plumbing system groaning and clanging with every flush and shower.
It's amazing how our minds work, isn't it? We crave these explanations, especially when we're stressed. We jump to conclusions, create narrative, even when the answer might be much simpler and less dramatic.
For a while, there's peace. Yeah. Everyone can breathe easy.
Yeah.
They even laugh about the whole ordeal bonding over their shared misadventures and, you know, noise investigation. Mm-hmm. But of course, it can't end there. This is a story about neighbors, remember?
Right. There's always another layer.
So the downstairs neighbor, the one with the gamer boyfriend, she can't let it go.
Uh-oh.
The noise obsession has taken root, even though the actual noise is mostly gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's fixated on every little creak, groaning convinced it's some kind of personal attack.
That shift is fascinating. It's like she's traded one source of anxiety for another. The initial stress of the noise has morphed into this hypervigilance, a need to find a culprit, even if it means inventing one.
It's like her brain can't switch off the threat detection mode. And here's where it gets really interesting and a little unsettling. The letter writer starts to get pulled into the neighbor's paranoia. Remember, they're already on edge because of the noise, and now they're dealing with someone who's convinced the building itself is out to get them.
That's the thing about paranoia. It can be almost contagious. Especially when you're already feeling vulnerable, it's easy to start questioning your own perceptions and get caught up in someone else's anxieties.
The neighbor starts giving the letter writer these intense stares, muttering about conspiracies and those pipes.
Oh, boy.
She even suggests they team up to expose the truth about the building's plumbing. It's like she's gone from being bothered by the noise to actively trying to control it.
This highlights a really important point. We often think of noise complaints as trivial, but they can be a symptom of something much deeper. In this case, it's clear the neighbor is struggling, and her fixation on the noise is just the tip of the iceberg. It makes you wonder what kind of support systems she might be lacking in her life.
And this is where things take a turn from strange to downright destructive. One night, the letter writer hears this commotion downstairs. They rush out to find the neighbor in the hallway, armed with a screwdriver, trying to fix the pipes herself.
Wow, this is a perfect example of how unchecked paranoia can lead to real-world consequences. She's crossed the line from suspicion to taking action, even if it means causing damage.
And as you can imagine, it backfires spectacularly. She ends up flooding her own apartment, and the water damage spreads to the units below. It's a chaotic, almost comical climax to an already bizarre situation.
It's a stark reminder that while noise complaints might seem like minor inconveniences, they can actually be indicators of much larger issues like mental health struggles or a lack of community support.
It's wild how a simple noise complaint turned into this like whole dramatic saga with a flooded apartment as the grand finale.
It really shows how interconnected we are, even when we feel isolated. You know, the letter writer sought peace and quiet, but ended up tangled in their neighbor's anxieties. It makes you think about how our own stress can ripple outward and affect those around us.
It definitely makes you wonder about, like, the unseen struggles people might be facing and how something as seemingly mundane as noisy pipes can become this focal point for all kinds of underlying issues.
Absolutely. It's a reminder to approach these situations with a bit more empathy and understanding. There might be more going on beneath the surface than we realize.
So the story wraps up with the noise finally subsiding. I mean, how could it get any louder after a flood?
Right. But the letter writer mentions still feeling on edge whenever they hear the pipes creaking. It's like a phantom noise, a reminder of all the stress and paranoia.
That's the thing about these intense experiences.
Yeah.
They can leave a lasting imprint on our senses and our psyche. Even when the external source of stress is gone, the internal echoes can linger.
It makes you realize that sometimes the things that drive us crazy aren't just about the actual events, but about how our minds interpret and react to them. Our perceptions can create their own kind of reality. It's a powerful insight, and it brings up a question for you, dear listener. Have you ever been in a similar situation where the source of a problem turned out to be totally unexpected? Something that drove you to the brink of distraction until you finally uncovered the truth?
And thinking about the role of building management in this story, how do you think they could have handled things differently? Could they have intervened earlier? Maybe addressed the plumbing issues before they became a catalyst for all this drama?
It's an important question to consider. After all, proactive maintenance and clear communication could have potentially prevented a lot of stress and even damage in this case.
It's a good reminder for all of us, whether we're dealing with noisy pipes or any other source of frustration, to take a step back, question our assumptions, and maybe try to listen a little more closely to what's really going on, both around us and within ourselves. Sometimes the solutions are simpler and closer than we think.
This story reminds us that sometimes the things that drive us crazy are more about our perceptions and reactions than the actual events themselves. It's a reminder to take a step back, question our assumptions, and perhaps listen closely to the pipes.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.